Oh, hallelujah. Wasn't that good? That, I mean, that is the pure presence of God up here. How many of you notice a difference when you come, when you leave your seat and come up to the altar? That there is a difference. I mean, there really is. All right, well, let's get this thing going. I got 9 full pages, so, and I'm going to finish them. So, Deuteronomy chapter 11. Deuteronomy chapter 11, verses 13 through 21. And it says, "And it shall be that if you earnestly obey my commandments, which I command you today, to love the Lord your God and serve him with all your heart and with all your soul, then I will give you the rain for your land in its season, the early rain and the latter rain, that you may gather in your grain, your new wine, and your oil. And I will send grass in your fields for the livestock, that you may eat and be filled." By the way, I know this is back then. They didn't have all the stuff we have today. This is a way of saying, God's saying, I'm going to bless you. Amen? "Take heed to yourselves, lest your heart be deceived, and you turn aside and serve other gods and worship them. Lest the Lord's anger be aroused against you, and he shut up the heavens, so that there be no rain, and the land yield no produce, and you perish quickly from the good land which the Lord has given you. Therefore, you shall lay up these words of mine in your heart and in your soul, and bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall teach them to your children, speaking of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. And you shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates, that your days and the days of your children may be multiplied in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers to give them, like the days of the heavens above the earth." Now go with me real quick to Psalm 31. Psalm 31. It just keeps getting sweeter and sweeter every service in here. Wow. Psalm 31, 19 through 21. It says, "Oh, how great is your goodness, which you have laid up for those who fear you or reverence you, which you have prepared for those who trust in you, in the presence of the sons of men. You shall hide them in the secret place of your presence from the plots of man. You shall keep them secretly in a pavilion from the strife of tongues. Blessed be the Lord, for he has shown me his marvelous kindness in a strong city." Hallelujah. Today, I want to talk about the goodness of God. Say, goodness of God. Now, specifically where I'm going to take this, I want to talk about us being awakened to the goodness of God. Awakened to the goodness of God. So, the title of this message is naturally, Awakened to the Goodness of God. Amen? But what do I mean by that, being awakened to the goodness of God? I'm talking about us as Christians being awakened to, becoming aware of the goodness of God that is all over our life and around us. Amen? It's interesting. The Word of God says this. It says, "Taste and see that the Lord is good." That word taste literally means this: perceive or become aware. Become aware that God is good in every area of your life. Now, the word goodness means virtuous. Let's go deeper. Virtuous means this: to have high moral standards, all right? So the Word of God says this, says that God is not man that he should lie, amen? He's not a man, he's not a liar. If God said it in his Word, he means it. He will do what he said he will do if we trust and believe him, amen? And let me just tell you this right now. God has never given us a reason not to trust him because he is full of integrity and he is trustworthy. Now, I know what someone's saying. Yeah, but this happened in my life. This bad thing happened in my life. Let me say it again. God has never given you a reason not to trust him. Now, in your unrenewed mind, in your unrenewed thinking, You are believing he's given you a reason not to trust him. But that wasn't him bringing that bad thing into your life. Amen? That is a lie from the pits of hell. That is a lie from the enemy. And I'm going to talk more about that later. But many times, we are too focused. I'm talking to Christians. I'm not talking to the unbeliever. Many times, we as Christians are too focused on the negative aspects of life. And we fail to see and acknowledge the goodness of God. Say, goodness of God. Listen to this. You will not see, you will not recognize that which you're not looking for. You will not see, you will never see or recognize that which you're not looking for or conscious of. Many Christians are led by their flesh. They're led by their carnal, unrenewed, and a mindset of negativity. So you could say it this way. We, in many areas of our life, we have been programmed in our soul. We have been programmed in our mind to do this. Are you ready? To look for negativity in everything. I said we have been programmed to look for negativity in every area of our life. But let me ask you this. If we're doing that, what in the world makes us any different at that point from an unsaved child of the devil on a one-way road to hell in the lake of fire? Nothing. Oh, it's getting quiet. What makes us any different if we're allowing that negativity to take over every part of our life? We as Christians are called to be holy, peculiar people, a people that reveal a very clear difference. You could say it this way. We're a people that are supposed to have a very clear distinction from this evil world system and the kingdom of darkness. Amen? Listen to this. During prayer this week, in this sanctuary especially, the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart and said this, that he wants me to tell the people to come out of that cycle of negativity. He told me that he wants his people to recognize and become aware of his goodness everywhere they go. Even, are you ready for this? Hold on, put your spiritual seatbelts on. Even in the negative situations and storms of life. Just because you had a storm, just because there's a negative situation, does not mean that God's not moving. Go to James chapter 1. Oh, so come on, we need to hear this message today. James chapter 1, verses 16 through 18. Listen to this. It says, do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Of his own will, underline that, of his own will, he is good. Amen? Amen. Of his own will, he brought us forth by the word of truth that we might be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. I want you to notice that this passage started out by saying something very important that you need to take hold of. Are you ready for this? Do not be deceived. Now, when the word of God says, do not be deceived, your ears better perk up. When God tells us in his word not to be deceived, there is a very good chance that we could be deceived in that area. Amen? So we need to pay attention to the warnings in the word of God, and we need to be on high alert spiritually in our life for this warning. You agree with that? God is not the one. Catch this now. I know many of you who have been programmed, even from dead religion back as a child. God is not the one causing problems and trials in your life. And on the other side of the coin, listen to this. You are not the reason for the blessings in your life because God is the giver of good things. You know, Christians, we seem to go from one extreme to the other, don't we? We go from the one extreme of blaming God for our problems And then we go to the other extreme of pride, thinking that we are our only source of provision. Amen? But Deuteronomy 11 gave a warning to us about allowing our heart to be deceived by turning to other gods and idols. Do you want to know what that Deuteronomy was talking about? He said, basically, he was saying, when the blessing comes, when you're blessed, don't let your heart turn away from God. You know what God's telling you? Because I can pull that rug right under your feet quicker than anything else. Are you following me? That's when a blessing can be turned into a curse. What decides that? Your heart toward God. So God is telling us to stay focused on Him as our source in this life. We need to get back into the middle of the road and understand that, yes, we have a part to play in obedience to God and the Word of God and the Holy Spirit, but ultimately it says God is the rewarder. Amen. Of those who diligently seek. We got to keep Him at the center of our heart. Now, the reason many Christians are focused on negativity in their life is because, are you ready for this? It's because they are always speaking negative. Oh, come on, someone's got to catch this. Now, listen to me. This is what you got to understand. This is, the Holy Ghost made this so clear to me. He said, what you are verbally speaking, the words that you speak, brings a greater awareness in that area of your life. What you speak brings a greater awareness or a consciousness of that thing in your life. So if you're speaking negative, that's what you're going to latch on to and always notice in your life. You know what it is? It's the spiritual law of recognition. Say recognition. You will recognize what you're focused on and what you're talking about. If you talk about negative things all the time, again, that's what you're going to be aware of and conscious of in your life. Now, if you have a positive confession based on the Word of God, on the goodness of God, then guess what you're going to be conscious of? The good stuff, the positive stuff, and the goodness of God in your life. Have you ever met a Christian like that? I mean, the world could be falling down. I mean, everything around them falls down, yet they still give time to give God praise and thankful. That's the kind of people that God is looking for today. Listen to this. It is a scientific fact. Let's bring science into this. True science, amen? It's a scientific fact that whatever we think about and whatever we talk about will be highlighted in our consciousness. Say highlighted. And we begin to notice those things more. It basically, when you focus on and you talk about something, what it's really doing in a scientific way is this. It puts your mind, it puts your brain on high alert to look for that specific thing. Are you following me? Let me give you an example. If I'm driving on the highway, okay, we're going up to Mackinac. We're heading north on I-75. And if I'm thinking about airplanes while I'm driving, I'm thinking about maybe a past church service or something like that, I'm passing up a bunch of details on that drive that I'm not aware of because I'm not paying attention to them. The moment Marianne speaks up, and she says, wow, look at how beautiful the fall-colored trees are. Guess what? My focus and consciousness immediately now. I can't drive down that road without noticing those beautiful trees. Are you following what I'm saying here? But before I was made aware of that in my focus, I passed those trees by. I was going 80. 590, never, no. No, what, 75. So I was going 75 miles an hour down that road, and I didn't even give one thought about those beautiful trees. We as Christians, listen to me, this is what God wants to get across to all of us today. We as Christians, we pass by the beauty of the goodness of God in our life all the time without even noticing it. And I'm here today to make you aware of and conscious of it in your life. It will change your entire perspective of your life. That's what I'm trying to do. That's what the Holy Ghost is trying to do. He's trying to shift your perspective today. I feel the anointing of the Holy Ghost. From negative to positive. We need to wake up every morning before you get out of bed. You need to say this. Say, I'm going to be looking for the goodness of God in every situation I encounter today. Can you imagine how much more positive our day would be if we would say that? And it puts our brain and our spirit, our soul on high alert to be looking for the goodness of God in every situation. That is why, listen to me, that is why there are so many unthankful Christians. They're focusing on the negative and not the positive aspects of their life. They're not even thinking about the goodness of God. Amen? I'm telling you, an unthankful Christian, show me an unthankful Christian, I'll show you one that doesn't even have an awareness or a consciousness of the goodness of God in their life. Go back to Deuteronomy 11. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost up in here. We're hitting a bullseye in the spirit. Now look at this. Deuteronomy 18 through 21. Let me read this little portion again here. It says, therefore, you shall lay up these words of mine in your heart and in your soul and bind them as a sign on your hand. And they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall teach them to your children, speaking of them when you sit in the house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. And you shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. Getting the point? That your days and the days of your children may be multiplied in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers to give them, like the days of the heavens above the earth. So God is telling us to keep his words in the front of our eyes and in our heart and in our thought life for this reason. Why? Not just in front of your eyes for no reason. No, they're in front of your eyes so it gets in your heart. But not just leaving it in your heart. It's for you to speak it. It's for you to talk about it. Amen? So our focus will be on him and a consciousness of him moving in every area of our life. So again, we as parents, we are commanded to teach the word of God to our children on a consistent basis. The key is this: have conversations with your children all the time about God. Bring up God. Talk about God. Amen? By the way, you cannot teach the word of God without speaking it or talking about it. Amen? A lot of the negativity that a person has in their life, Let me go back and camp out on this, because I feel there's a lot of this, even among our people and those watching and listening online. A lot of the negativity a person has in their life was learned behavior from their childhood. Not all, but a lot of it. You agree with that? And then, of course, when they become adults, then there's negative experiences. And if they're not rooted and grounded in the word, then, of course, they're going to latch onto negativity, right? So, but these, they were in a negative spiritual environment where they heard and felt negativity. And it literally trained their soul. It trained their mind. Here's what it did. Are you ready? It trained the subconscious part of their mind. Did you know from the ages of when you're born to 7 years old, that is the point where a child's subconscious mind is wide open? It's literally like an open trash can. Whatever environment they're in, the words that they're hearing, the spiritual atmosphere, that is what's getting in them. And I'm just telling you right now, many adults, the way they act and things that they do stem from that 0 to 7 year old range that was put in them. Here's what you need to know and understand. What you fill your heart with comes out in spoken words. The abundance of your heart, right? Your mouth speaks. Your spoken words set an expectation of what you are aware of and what you're recognizing in your life. That's how you can locate a person. Well, you don't know what's in my heart. Sure, I do. I just listened to you talk for about 10 minutes. I know exactly what's in your heart. Right? Because the abundance of the heart, the mouth is speaking, right? So your spoken words set an expectation of what you're aware of and what you're recognizing in your life. And what you are focused on sets an expectation. Listen to this. This is why the negative cycle keeps going of negativity. What you're focused on sets an expectation in your life for a multiplication of that thing in your life for the future. Say cycle. It's a cycle. And that acts, that expectation, that negative expectation acts as a, you could say it this way, as a magnet that draws or pulls in like gravity more negativity into your life. So, it's the spirit, really what it is, it's the spiritual law of sowing and reaping in your life. You are recognizing, expecting, and focusing on negativity, and that creates negative spoken words, and that plants spiritual seeds of negativity, and that's what you end up harvesting in your life. What are you sowing? Whatever you're sowing, the word says, that's what you're going to reap, right? Say sowing and reaping. It's getting mighty quiet in this Presbyterian church this morning. I love that one. I grew up in one, so I have a license to say it. Here, let me show you. See, it says right here, Pastor James can make fun of the Presbyterian church. Long-standing member. Okay, listen to this. We love our brothers and sisters, right? I got family who are Presbyterian, so don't worry. We joke about it all the time. Remember, our spoken words put a demand either on the kingdom of God or on the kingdom of darkness. Our spoken words, you could say it this way. You know, you're the CEO of your own life. You do know that, right? Our spoken words are either employing demons or God's angels and ministering spirits in our life. You're employing someone. The question is, who is it? What kingdom are you pulling from? Amen? The Holy Spirit is telling us today that He wants that negative cycle and negative harvest in your life to be disrupted. He wants it to be stopped today. Amen? God is telling us to fill our heart with His word, with positive seed, which will cause us to speak positive words or have a positive confession. You know what the word confession means? It means this: to say the same thing as or to agree with. So when you're confessing your sin, you know what you're doing? You're agreeing that you sinned. That's it. The power of agreement. What keeps people from saying the same thing as that? Pride. What it takes a humility to say, I messed up, right? So God wants us to have a positive confession, which will cause us to start to see the goodness of God in every situation in our life. It's time to agree with God's word in your life, wouldn't you say? Just because, let me go back to this, all right? Because we need to be real about this, right? There we have life where there, we're sometimes on the mountaintop and we're sometimes in the valley, amen? Just because you experience a tragedy in your life, doesn't mean that you're disqualified from the goodness of God in your life. You know what it means? You had a tragedy. Congratulations, you're human. You live on planet Earth, right? But God's goodness, this is what God wanted me to tell you all. Even in the midst of a tragedy, God's goodness is still active in your life. You need to shift your focus and start becoming aware of that. I told it the thing before when my mom passed away, and it was the first day of visitation, seeing her in the open casket. Before they opened the doors and I walked in, I'm like, Lord, how can I even handle this? This is just too much to bear. When the doors opened and I walked in, I seen her and I started walking toward that casket. I promise you, God must have surrounded me with angels because a peace flooded me like never before. The peace of God. Now, I could have been focused on the negative, but I chose to thank God for His peace. Are you following me right now? This is important. This is where the rubber hits the road, people. Amen? So God did not cause those evil things in your life. But he wants us to start becoming aware of his hand moving in those situations and not to focus just on the negative. Go to Psalm 27 real quick here. Psalm 27. Hallelujah. See, it's not in the good times how you act. It's like what comes out when you're squeezed in those tragedies, when you're squeezed in those trials of life. Amen? Yeah, I mean, it's a totally different, it's a different shift, isn't it? Psalm 27, 10 through 14. It says, when my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take care of me. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me into a smooth path because of my enemies. Do not deliver me to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen up against me, and such as breathe out violence. I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see, underline it, the goodness of God in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Now, look at verse 10, the first verse I read there. It starts off with, when my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take care of me. How many of you know, if you're forsaken by both parents, how many of you know that's a horrible and tragic situation on this earth? Amen? And how many of you know many people that that's happened to, they've fallen into that negativity in their life. But then it goes on to say that even in that tragic and unfortunate situation like that, are you ready for this? The goodness of God rises to the occasion. And God steps in to fill that void in that person's life. It says the Lord will take care of you. Amen. Isn't that good? Even in a tragic situation, God says, I'm going to rise to the occasion. But why? Why? Because I'm a good God. Verse 13 says, now catch this, catch what I'm saying. I would have lost heart unless, I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. The reason David did not lose heart or get discouraged or fall into the pit of hopelessness and despair is for one reason and one reason alone. It's because he chose to believe, he chose to have faith that the goodness of God was going to come in and save the day and help him over his enemies. Say, it was a choice. It was a choice that kept him going. We must constantly be focused on and speak about the goodness of God in our life. That is why praising God is so important. You know, praising God is a spiritual weapon. Praising God. Praising God keeps us focused on the awesome, unchanging qualities and integrity of our God. It keeps us focused on, you could say it this way, on the goodness of God. I want you to notice that praising God, when you praise God, it means that you're verbally speaking words to show your adoration and you're magnifying his amazing positive qualities. Isn't that what we do when we're praising God? God, you're so good. God, you are my breakthrough. God, you are my provider. That's what we do when we praise him, right? Praising God is so important, again, because it keeps you focused on the goodness of God. Show me a Christian that consistently praises God, and I will show you a Christian that is aware of and thankful for the goodness of God in their life. I will show you a Christian, I feel the anointing right now hitting me. I will show you a Christian that experiences breakthrough and blessings on a consistent basis. Have you noticed that? Go ahead, hang out with some praisers in your life, and you will be amazed at the divine appointments and breakthroughs that come in their life. This is not a secret. They're praising God, they're magnifying him, and they're staying focused. Come on the goodness of God. Show me a Christian that does not praise God on a consistent basis. And I will show you a very negative person that falls into the pit of hopelessness and the pit of despair on a regular basis. Our praise to God, you could say it this way, our praise to God, why is it so powerful? Why does it create breakthrough? Here's why, because it's a manifestation of our faith in God and His Word. As we release our faith in faith and praise, we will experience more breakthrough. Real quick, go to Psalm 67. Psalm 67, is the message getting through today? Yes. Come on. Psalm 67, 5 through 7, I want to look at. This shows us the importance of praise. Praise to God in our life. Get ready. I'm about ready to drop some things here. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Then. Then the earth shall yield her increase. God, our own God, shall bless us. God shall bless us, and all the ends of the earth shall fear or reverence him. Now, praise to God releases and manifests increase in your life and blessing in your life. Again, because of this, it's a fruit. It's a manifestation of your faith that you have in your heart toward Him. You are activating, you could say it this way, you ready for this? You are activating the law of faith in a positive direction. Praise releases, I'm going to say some things, so just let it soak in. Just let it soak in. Praise releases and manifests increase because it is a recognition of and an awareness of the goodness of God within spoken words that come out of your heart. Just like Jesus' spoken faith-filled words to the fig tree when he cursed the fig tree in Mark 11, our faith-filled words of praise will release and manifest blessing and breakthrough and increase in our life. Now, here's what the Holy Spirit wanted me to show you and tell you today. This is big. This might be the key of why you're not tapping in and getting that breakthrough. Are you ready for this? Here we go. There are some in here and listening to me online that don't have a faith problem. You have a lack of praise problem. Hey, here's what you lack of releasing that faith that's in your heart. If faith is not released somehow, you know what it's called? Dead faith. Some of you don't have a faith problem. You believe God. You believe Him all day long, but you're not releasing that faith in spoken words of praise in action. It's only living faith when it's released through spoken words and action. Is anybody getting this today? Yeah, I'm telling you right now, because there's people who say, I believe God, I believe. Well, how long are you praising Him a day? How long are you speaking positive confessions? How often are you prophesying the Word of God over your life? How often are you acting on the Word of God? You might not have a faith problem. You might have a problem of not releasing that faith. Because of this, this is why it's so important. Faith is not meant to be bottled up and locked up in your heart. Come on. Use it or lose it, baby. Use it or lose it. Faith is not meant to be bottled up and locked in our heart. It's meant to be released by actions and spoken words. Again, faith without works is dead. Amen? Wow. Wow. What just came to me was that man that where the friends took him. Wow. Thank you, Lord. That man that was crippled, they took him and they lift him up. The friends took him and they let him down. They removed the roof and they let him down. It says when Jesus saw their faith. Sometimes people need to ride on our faith. Are you following me? Wow, thank you, Lord. See, that is When it's released, when faith is released somehow, that is when it will benefit every area of your life in the natural realm. Say it with me. My faith must be released. Don't keep it bottled up. Say that with me. I'm not going to keep it bottled up any longer. Hallelujah. So listen to this. The level of blessings and breakthrough in your life, you could say it this way, is in direct proportion to your level of praise to God. Let me say it again. The level of blessings and breakthrough in your life is in direct proportion to your level of praise to God. Why? That's when your faith is being released. Turn your faith loose. Amen. Turn that valve on. Amen? Yes. Hallelujah. Because your praise, again, your praise is a manifestation of your level of faith in the Word of God. Oh, hallelujah. Now, you know that song, what came to me when I was writing this? If you're happy and you know it, clap your hands. Well, if you truly have faith in your heart, let it come out. Amen. If you truly have faith in your heart, let it loose, baby. Amen? Amen. Now, some might say, I don't feel like praising. I don't care what you feel like. Faith has nothing to do with how you feel. Amen. Faith is acting on the Word of God even when you don't feel like it. Faith is choosing to believe in God, to believe in the goodness of God, even during a trial and a tragedy. Amen? So start praising Him even when your flesh is trying to override your spirit man. And as you start praising Him, you might not feel like it, as you do that, you will start to notice that faith and trust in God begin to get stronger and stronger. Why? Because you're magnifying it. You're focusing on it. You're becoming, I like to say it this way, you're becoming conscious of it now. It means that your born-again spirit is taking over and starting to rise up. Amen? I like that word, override. Let your spirit override your flesh. And by the way, you know, some of the most powerful meetings that people have told me they've been to, you want to know what happens to them? They say, I really didn't feel like coming tonight. Oh, you know, I was exhausted. I didn't even feel like coming to church today. But wow, this is the most powerful service I've ever been to. Why? Because God is a rewarder of those, come on, who turn their faith loose. Those that are willing to override their flesh with their born-again spirit, man. Amen? God will honor that effort of praise to Him. In that tragedy, what came to me as I was writing this was like that casting crown song. God, I'm going to praise You in this storm. I'm going to praise You in this storm. Amen? I don't care what's going on in your life. There's always a reason to continue to praise Him. There is always a reason to be thankful to God. Amen? Focus on the positive. Pray and praise God and allow Him to step in with His goodness to take care and handle that negative situation. That is faith in action right there, right? That's what it means to cast your cares unto the Lord. You need to shed that excess spiritual and emotional weight by praising God. Oh, there's something so powerful. How many of you, when you were up here and during praise and worship, you felt lighter? You may have been having a rough week, but boy, you felt the presence of God. You felt lighter. You felt heaviness leave your life. Anybody in here?
Yeah.
Oh, good. There we go. You proved my point. The more we begin to become aware of and recognize the goodness of God in our life, the more peace and joy will flood your soul. We must, listen to me, Christians, we must reprogram our soul, our mind, to truly believe that God is good, yes, all the time. All the time. He's good all the time. He thinks nothing but good thoughts about you and I. You know that? Some things that happen in our life that we initially see negative or a loss, sometimes, you know, someone leaves your life, whatever it is, whatever happens, right, could actually be the goodness of God in action protecting us from something harmful down the road, right? We must have complete faith and confidence in the Lord. You've got to. We have to. Believing that He is always looking out for us, amen? And as we stay obedient As we stay close to Him, He knows best. You got to come to that point that God knows best. You have a lack of peace, there's a reason for it. Amen? We must stop questioning the goodness of God in our life, because that is exactly what the enemy wants us to do. The enemy wants you and I to question the goodness of God in our life. The enemy wants us to do that because the enemy knows this: if he can get you and I to question the goodness of God in our life, it will set off that negative cycle and fruit of the curse in your life. Because doubt and unbelief hinders faith. And we're called to walk by faith and not by sight. Amen? Adam and Eve, let's talk about them for a moment here. Adam and Eve questioned the goodness of God in the Garden of Eden. Did you know that? She questioned the goodness of God. Adam was just an idiot and went along with it. Come on now. Listen, Adam and Eve, they questioned. Really, well, it was a conversation between Satan, the serpent, and Eve, but Eve questioned if God really had their best interest in mind, right? She questioned the goodness of God, and what happened when she questioned the goodness of God? It opened the floodgates to the curse on this earth. It all started from questioning the goodness of God. Don't question the goodness of God. Believe in the goodness of God. Think about the goodness of God. Speak about it. Recognize it. Be aware of it. Become conscious of the goodness of God in your life. Amen? When Eve did that, and Adam, he followed, right? It shattered. Listen to what it did. When they questioned, look at all this that happened, because they simply questioned the goodness of God. It shattered the purity and intimacy they walked in with God in the Garden of Eden. Before eating the fruit, in fact, things were so pure that they walked around unashamed. They were unashamed to be naked. Are you following me? There was no shame. But after questioning the goodness of God and sinning against Him, it opened the floodgates for guilt and shame to enter their life. Now listen to this. What is shame? Say shame. Shame is defined as this. Listen, someone needs to hear this right now. I want to minister to those who are dealing with shame in their life from their past. Shame is defined as a painful feeling of humiliation or distress. Listen to me. Caused by consciousness or an awareness of wrong or foolish behavior. If shame can enter if shame can enter our life by being conscious of our mistakes from the past, think of what can come into our heart when we're conscious of the goodness of God and what Jesus did for you. Yeah. Listen to me. I gotta camp out on this again. Shame is defined as a painful feeling of humiliation or distress caused by the consciousness or an awareness, or you could say it this way, the wrong focus. There's some in here and watching online, you're focused so much on your terrible past, you're allowing shame to make a home in your heart. You need to shift your focus away from your past. That's not you anymore. Amen? If you're living your life with guilt and shame about your past, you have taken the bait of Satan, and you have failed to believe. Here's what happened. You failed to believe in the goodness of God in your life, and you're more conscious, you're more aware of, you're more focused on your past sins and faults in your life. And it's time to move beyond that. This is the negative cycle that God says, I want to break. He says, I want to break that shame in your life today. Say shame. I'm saying goodbye to you. Believing in the integrity and the goodness of God in your life will set you free in your soul from guilt and shame from the past. Having a revelation and believing in the goodness of God will even, listen to me, here's what the Holy Ghost said. Having a revelation of and believing in the goodness of God, a focus on the goodness of God, will even promote, listen, physical healing in your body. Some of you all, you are dealing with infirmity, sickness, disease. Why? Why is that? What's the stronghold? The stronghold's not the sickness or disease. You ready for this? It's shame from your past. Are you following me? See, the sickness or a disease is just a root, is just a fruit. But the root is the emotional shame and guilt you're holding on to. You believe you don't even deserve any better to be healed. Oh, someone needs to hear this morning. It will cause that shame and guilt and the negative emotions in your soul will cause it will cause your soul to fail to prosper. Amen? Oh, I felt like we're really hitting the nail on the head with the hammer of the Holy Ghost today. We must be awakened to and have a fresh revelation of the goodness of God in your life. See, that's why when I go to pray for someone, if I have time, obviously, I mean, of course, I'll pray if they, you know, yeah, let's pray. But if I really had my druthers, are you ready for this? If someone says, I need prayer for this sickness or disease, this thing going on in my body, you know what I'd like to tell them? Let's set up an appointment and talk about some of your past stuff that you might be holding on to. Let's really deal with the root on this thing. Sure, we can pray. Sure. Sure, so there's been people who've been healed that done that. But also, a lot of those people that have gotten a healing, guess what? They also lose the healing after. Because the root, the emotional root, was not dealt with. Oh, this is good stuff, people. We got to go to the emotional root. Oh, hallelujah. Believing in the goodness of God will cause you to be a sold out, radical soldier for the Lord Jesus Christ. Because you know God is right there. You know the kingdom of God is right there backing you up in the battle. Amen? You can go into any situation that God tells you to go in with confidence. Amen? Backsliding is a result of not believing or focusing on the goodness of God in your life. A Christian backslides when they feel that God didn't make things happen in their life the way they thought it should happen. Anybody? We've all done it, right? But that's a deception. That's a trap. Many times things happen that way in our life. They're from poor decision making, right? And here's what's going on. They're hoping that God, oh, come on, let's say it this way. You ready for this? Write this down if you're taking notes. They're hoping God will bless their mess. That's what they're doing. They're hoping God will bless their mess. Lord, bless my mess in the name of Jesus. Oh, and they try to make it real spiritual. Oh, in the name of Jesus, bless my mess, Lord. Come on. You know how foolish that is? Here's what the Holy Spirit said. Listen to this. He said, you're not trying to get me on your side, but rather you're supposed to be on my side. And that's the only thing I'm obligated to bless, my side, God's side. Oh, hallelujah. That is the main key of breakthrough and blessing, is getting on God's side, not trying to get him to bless our mess. I like that. Maybe we should get shirts made up that say that. Don't expect God to bless your mess. Now come to Living Waters Chapel at 10 a.m. on Sunday morning. Okay, right? Hey, back to Psalm 27. So David said, and I'm almost done. So David said that his faith in, his belief in the goodness of God prevented him from falling into the pit of despair and hopelessness. If you're in a pit of despair and hopelessness this morning, it's very easy what happened. You failed to focus on the goodness of God. And it's time to get your focus back on it and become aware of the goodness of God in your life. Verse 14 says, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he will strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Notice it says wait on the Lord twice. Don't we hate that? Yes. Oh! Once is, well, he could have said it once, right? But no, he really wants to get the point across. Wait on me. Why? Because I'm not going to bless your mess. I'm not going to bless your mess. So wait on me. I'm going to tell you twice. If God tells us something twice, there's a reason for it. Amen. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he will strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Listen what the word courage means. Courage is defined as this. Very interesting. The ability to do something that frightens you. Or strength in the face of pain or grief. To have courage literally means this. Are you ready for this? To have courage literally means this. To do something in fear. It means to override that fear and to do it anyways. Here's what you got to understand. Many people who have fear in their life, they get condemned. Well, I'm not supposed to have fear in my life. I'm not a good... No, there are times that fear is going to hit you. But that's when you need, come on, courage to override that fear. You do it in the face of fear. Man, that's good. I thought that was powerful about courage. Many times, we must wait on the Lord to give us that next instruction. And in during that waiting period, this is what David was saying here, the Holy Ghost through David, that when we're waiting on that next step, that's fearful for us because we're seeing negative circumstances and it feels like we should be doing something. Right? Have you ever been there? You feel like, man, I should be doing something. I can't just sit around here. No, wait. Wait. And God says this, to be able to have a restraint while that fear is hitting you where you think you should be doing something, he said that's courage when you have restraint in the face of that fear of what you're seeing. Think about that. Instead of reacting in the flesh, we need to have courage to wait on the Lord, to wait on the goodness of God. So the main point in this message that the Holy Spirit wanted me to get across, or in this verse, is to fix our focus on the goodness of God. Even though at times we might not see it manifest in the natural right away, we must believe that his goodness is coming. He is going to step in. We must believe that God is going to intervene in that situation. Waiting on the Lord must involve, this is what waiting on the Lord is. Ready for this? It must involve an unmovable mental focus on the goodness of God. An unmovable mental focus on the goodness of God. The Holy Spirit, through David, said that maintaining a consistent focus on the goodness of God, the fruit of doing that will strengthen your heart with courage to be able to override that fear and choose faith. So it's an act of our free will. Amen? So church, the main point that you and I need to leave this place with today, with this message, that we must make an on-purpose effort to retrain our soul, renew our mind, to believe and to see the goodness of God in every situation in our life. Amen? We must think about it. We must talk about it. We must speak word-filled confessions about the goodness of God on a consistent basis. We must keep our soul and our brain on high alert, on high focus to see the goodness of God in every area. We must flush every bit of negativity out of our heart and out of our life so we can recognize and experience the blessing of God without limits. Church, it's time right now to become awakened, to become aware of the goodness of God in our life like never before. Let's stand up in this place. Awakened to the goodness of God. Prayer team, come on down. Now, maybe there's someone in this place, you've never made Jesus Lord of your life. Today's the day. I'm not going to draw this thing out. Come down, pray with one of the prayer team members, and make it right today. Make Jesus Christ the Lord and Savior of your life. Next, you're backslidden. Those that are backslidden, you've fallen away. And I'm going to open it up beyond that. Not necessarily that you're totally backslidden, but simply this, you have forgotten about the goodness of God. and your focus has been on negativity for a long time, if you want to get your focus back on the goodness of God, I want you to come down and pray with one of the prayer team members. Just do it. You will leave this altar. I feel it in my heart. You will leave this altar with a whole new shift and perspective shift this morning. If you want to receive the Holy Spirit baptism, come on down. We want to pray with you for that. And if you need prayer for anything else, we will pray over you and believe with you from the Word of God. Amen? Oh, what a great day today. I'll tell you what. So I'm going to pray over the food. By the way, we do have an elevator over here in the war room area. If somebody can't use the stairs, we do have an elevator. So let's pray over the food real quick. And then when I close, come on down and receive prayer from our powerful prayer team. Amen. Father God, we thank you for this day. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you for your presence. Lord, we choose to shift our focus back on your goodness. And Lord, I thank you for this day. Lord, thank you for bringing Marianne and I to this church, to this area. Lord, it's an amazing blessing to be here. Lord, we love these people. Lord, this is a perfect fit. It's just, we all are in the perfect will of God, and we sense it. So Lord, give us a great time of fellowship downstairs, and bless that food to our bodies, and keep everyone safe as they leave. And everybody said, have a great, great day. We'll see you downstairs, and I love you all. Hallelujah.